You're listening to a Hindustan Times podcast brought to you by HT Smartcast.
Welcome to season 2 of our podcast Kicks for Free, in which we discuss all things football. I am Dhiman, and with me is my co-host Vivek.
Messi!
For 2 days earlier this week, the Indian Super League hosted media days. The first was in Bengaluru and the second in Kolkata. Through Tuesday and Wednesday, 4 hours and some on each day, selected players and coaches from all 12 teams interacted with the media. Season 10 of the ISL begins on September 21st, and the idea was to create a buzz ahead of kickoff of what would be the biggest season yet. Aditya Chaturvedi and Dhiman attended the sessions. Aditya, I'll come to you first since you were in Bengaluru on Tuesday. Could you talk a bit about what the experience was like and how many teams were there?
Yeah, hi everyone. Bengaluru was the first day of the event. So we had 5 teams over there. There was FC Goa, Hyderabad FC, Mumbai City FC, Chennai FC and Bengaluru FC. So it was typically upbeat, the mood, you know, the start of the 10th season. Even, you know, off stage, you could see like the coaches getting along really well. And there was this kind of positivity, you could feel it. So they basically came in one by one, like the coach of each team and like 3 to 4 players along with him. And they did press conferences like one by one. As long as there was conversation around the ISL and, you know, how great the league has been to grow Indian football over the past 10 years, the conversation like flowed pretty smoothly. But there was that elephant in the room that, you know, everyone could sense, like the media in the background was, you know, whispering about it, that the Asian Games are going to start in a week and the players haven't been released yet. So we were sort of told not to, you know, talk about that because they wanted to create hype just around the ISL. Yeah, there was that, you know, sense, a bit of tension, you know, in the background.
Dhiman, the Asian Games squad, which Aditya is speaking about, that didn't come till late on Wednesday evening. So how was it in Kolkata?
Pretty much what Aditya mentioned, there were snazzy videos, you know, team videos that were released and in different languages. The teams came one by one. East Bengal came first. Kerala came last. There were 7 teams in Kolkata. I am not sure why Kerala came to Kolkata and did not go to Bengaluru. But I was told that there were some training arrangements. They are now in the UAE. So it still didn't make sense. And when I pressed whether it had something to do with what had happened in the semi-final last time around, all I got was silence. But that was okay. So Kerala were here. And as Aditya mentioned, this was the elephant in the room. Because when this was happening, we had no idea that the squad would be announced later that day. And in Kolkata, to be fair to them, they did not ask us in so many words to kind of refrain from asking questions on the Asian Games, simply because they knew that the size of the media contingent, it would be pointless. I mean, one of the things that always works in Kolkata is that the size of the media contingent for any event, sporting event, is massive, even for chess. So they didn't do that because it would possibly be a backlash. It would lead to more questions. If I remember right, I think 5th question into Carles Quadrat's interaction, he was asked about the Asian Games. And then Quadrat drew on his experience of being in the national team staff in Saudi Arabia and in El Salvador. And he said how important it was to release players because only then can football grow. You know, the usual diplomatic stuff. When it was posed to Juan Ferrando, he first said, "I don't know." So he sought refuge in "I don't know"s to a lot of times. Then said, you know, when conversation shifted to Ashik Kurunian, who's been injured, he said, "Well, the federation told us it was a knock. And as we found out, it is anything but a knock." But then he was also, you know, a kind of non-committal, saying if players have to go, then they will go. And like with Ashik, now that I need to make another solution for Ashik, we will make another solution. The only person who was direct in taking a stand in this was Ivan Vukomanovic, who very clearly said that I do not have a problem in releasing players for the national team at all. because I see the shine in their eyes when they look at the flag. I see the shine in their eyes when they're singing the national anthem. And as a former national team player, he's been an under 21 international. The Serbian said that, you know, it's something I understand. Almost reminding people of, you know, how Pep Guardiola went out of his way to ensure that Messi went to an Olympic and won gold in the process. So he was the only one who took a direct stance. But yes, there were a number of questions on the Asian Games. And again, as Aditya said, when the conversation was around ISL and, you know, how do you look forward to the season and stuff, it was all right. But you could notice a perceptible tension in the room whenever there was a question on the Asian Games.
Right. Aditya, how was it in Bengaluru? Was there a tension there as well?
Absolutely, yeah. So, we did manage to slip in this question a couple of times. So, like FC Goa's coach, you know, kind of briefly spoke about it, but he started his answer by saying that, you know, I don't think this is the right platform to talk about this and I'm not very comfortable. But all I'll say is that, you know, we will have to manage with whichever players we have at any given point. So that was neither here nor there. He didn't kind of, you know, commit either way. And Des Buckingham, Mumbai City's coach, he spoke a bit more about it. Like, I even managed to catch him personally later on. And he did say that, you know, we have sent players in the past for national duty and we will continue to do so again. But as of now, there is still no clarity. And he kind of, you know, put it on the AIFF to, you know, communicate a bit better, I guess. Like, that was, you know, something I could sense in what he was trying to say. But again, there was a lot of, you know, gray I mean, they were choosing their words very carefully. And you could almost kind of feel for them because, you know, they were in that spot. They didn't know what to say. They kind of even didn't know what was happening. Buckingham even alluded to the fact that he doesn't know when a couple of his players will be arriving. So, yeah, I mean, and in terms of the players, like, of course, Chetri was there, but he, you know, he came, he did his PC with the Bengaluru guys, and then he kind of, you know, just zoomed off immediately. So there was just these couple of quotes that a couple of the coaches gave out. But yeah, there was that, you know, it was the big elephant in the room throughout.
Dhiman, the Asian Games squad has finally been announced, as we mentioned. Sunil Chetri, of course, will be leading the team. You wrote yesterday, 22 players are allowed to go, but AIFF has named only 17, with only two goalkeepers out of a maximum of three. Why has it all come to such a pass?
As I found out later, and with the newspapers running to deadlines that are often very hard, for 17 has now become 18, with Deepak Tangri being added. And as an AIFF official told me, it could even get to 19. Hopefully, we'll get a third goalkeeper in the process, because the 17 that was put out actually meant that you cannot even make five outfield substitutions.
Yeah.
It is that bizarre. But now they can do that. Two goalkeepers, I have never seen a team travel or go anywhere with two goalkeepers. I mean, the first thing what you're doing when you're preparing a team is you put in three goalkeepers for obvious reasons. Yeah. That's a specialist position. No one can play there. All that, you know, it's as old as the hills. Two goalkeepers is so last century that it doesn't even merit talking about. But that's what we've done. Possibly because Vishal Yadav, who's one of the goalkeepers AIFF wanted, was not released by Jamshedpur FC. And why did it come to such a pass? Well, the Asian Games is not in the FIFA window. The Asian Games is essentially an age-specific competition like the Olympics. The goals and statistics do not get figured in the senior team stats of players. So Neymar has scored 14 goals or whatever in 8 Olympic Games. They don't figure in the 79 or whatever he scored for Brazil. And because it is not in the FIFA window, because the ISL was starting and because Mumbai, Odisha and Mohun Bagan have Asian commitments, it only made sense for them not to release players. Because why would any team want to play three games of India's top competition? This is not a preseason thing. Without its best players. I mean, you can lose with your best players. That's okay. That's another argument. But why would you take that chance? And I don't see the clubs being in the wrong at all. So all AIFF could do was request. And in that request, what you've got is players who are not first team players, most of them, quite a few of them actually. And that's all they were willing to release. And I think that was the compromise that they were willing to take. And I see nothing really wrong with that, really.
Devan, but then why go there in the first place? We all could foresee this problem coming for quite a time. It was obvious that the ISL would start around this time and that it would clash with the Asian Games. Shouldn't the AIFF have done something about it much earlier than they have?
Yeah, well, that's a question only the AIFF can answer. It's bizarre to say the least because if you go back and you see that, you know, there was the Asian Games, football was not even in the initial list. The AIFF actually had to make an exception, ask the ministry to make an exception because whatever the criteria of the ministry was, the AIFF could not fulfill that. And they were going by criteria. It's black and white. So it is bizarre that, you know, having got the exemption, the AIFF then tried to sort of get the clubs and the league to be rescheduled. I mean, it's a classic case of putting the cart before the horse because common sense would tell you that you would try to do that first. As to why the AIFF did not, I don't know. You can put it down to a misplaced sense of confidence. I have no clue really, but it's bizarre again because at this point in time, they are headed by a former goalkeeper who's well-traveled on the country's club circuit. So, you would assume that he would know that clubs have historically not released players when the competition's on for all the right reasons. I mean, why would they do that? So, to be honest, it's a question that only AIFF can answer and we'll have to wait at some point in time as to whether they come up with the clarification. Why did they do what they did?
Right. Aditya, you mentioned earlier that obviously the coaches and players were in a difficult place. They obviously wouldn't have known which way to, like, what to say about these queries. But did anyone say this and spell it out at the session in Bengaluru?
So, not the players and coaches, definitely. But I spoke with a couple of, you know, the club officials privately. And they were, you know, quite clear that, you know, they aren't keen on sending players at all. And they kind of put the blame squarely on the AIFF for, you know, lack of communication. They have, you know, they said that they've tried to get clarity from them. They've reached out themselves, but there hasn't been any clarity. And now they're in a position, you know, so close to the ISL starting, they aren't at all keen in sending, you know, any of their key players, any of the important players. And Dhimanda also said, like, you know, there was more talk in Bengaluru about the Asian Cup, which is a few, you know, months away. Like, the Asian Games was hardly, you know, you could see very clearly that it holds no priority. At least that is what the sense, you know, one got over there, you know, with the first match scheduled a week away. For ISL clubs right now, like, it's a very difficult position and you kind of, you know, understand why they wouldn't want to send their players.
Yeah, I mean, Vivek, you know what, adding to what Aditya was saying, in Kolkata, it was all cordial. On the surface, everybody was talking about helping the national team grow. But Quadrat made this point. He spoke about the calendar. And the calendar, when he mentions the calendar, it is essentially shorthand for the FIFA international windows. To be fair, the AIFF has listed Asian Games in its calendar. But then went on to do very little about it. I got the sense that ISL was told that, you know, players will not be released because it is not in the FIFA window, so you can go ahead with your schedule. You know, it's difficult to rework schedules because in a country like India, you have so many logistics to take care of. There are festivities, there's Durga Puja in Kolkata, you cannot hold matches then. There would be something else happening somewhere else. Games get rescheduled, police do not give permission. So, all of this will still happen, but it is difficult to reschedule games. So when AIFF did try to do that, it didn't happen. But it was all cordiality in Kolkata. Diplomatic, Quadrat was diplomatic. Perando went into the Ke Sara Sara mode, like Aditya said, Manolo Marquez did in Goa. And Vukomanovic took the stand that he did. While all this was happening, football officials were frantically working the phones of people in the room in Kolkata at those media sessions asking those clubs to release players. While their players on and coaches on stage were saying something else and stuff. And, you know, and they were working the phones continuously. And even on its website in that press release that AIFF put out Wednesday night, it thanked the FSDL and the clubs for releasing players because, frankly, there was very little it could do. I mean, I quote, while announcing the squad, the AIFF expressed its thanks to the clubs in the Indian Super League and the FSDL for coordinating with the national body for the release of players for the Asian Games. This after having been stonewalled and having got into situations where pretty much very little of the team that was originally selected by Igor Stimash on the, and released by the AFF on August 1 is actually going to the Asian Games now.
Diman, I have a couple of questions. One is that Sunil Chhetri, of course, he's the only player over 24 who's going. He'll be captain, of course. He had mentioned to us in this very podcast a few weeks back that he will go as long as his name is there. Do you think he would have like expressed his keenness to go, given knowing him as well as you do? He's always been someone who's wanted to use every opportunity possible to play for the country. So on Chhetri, and also like, how do you see India's chances in the Asian Games?
Well, first, like you said, I mean, Chhetri wanted to go and Chhetri is going. There has been no dichotomy here. Look at it this way. For 12 or 13 games in the ISL last term, Chhetri did not start. And Bengaluru went to the final. Even in the final, he played almost the entire final. But that was only because Sivasakti got injured in the first or the second minute of the game. So, if we assume that Chhetri is not part of Bengaluru's first team scheme of things, then it makes sense for Bengaluru to release him as a compromise. And at the end of the day, he's Sunil Chhetri. He adds heft to the team. And it is, you know, he's the most famous Indian footballer, an absolute legend in South Asia and pretty much all of Asia. So, him going makes the team a little more experienced than it otherwise would have. Because the other over 24 players are not going. Good is not going. Sandesh Chingan is not going. They've not just not been released. And Gurpreet was not released because Bengaluru said all our goalkeepers are either loaned out or injured. Now, right, wrong, you don't know. You have to trust them because you can't do anything about them not releasing. Gurpreet went for the King's Cup because that is in the FIFA window. And there you have to release players.
Yeah.
So, Gurpreet was not going. Sandesh Chingan, FC Goa smelt the tea leaves and whatever Manolo said at the media session that Aditya attended and stuff. FC Goa did not release Sandesh Chingan. They released Ayush Chhetri. So, that, I mean, Sunil going was never in doubt, really, because for reasons we just discussed. When it comes to chances of the India team, well, international games are funny games. You have situations where, you know, Germany lose by 4 goals to Japan. While it could be a possible indication of how the football situation is vis-a-vis international teams in both countries, because Germany have been losing to Japan. But these are funny things. I mean, India, the under-23 India team lost to China 2-1, taking a goal very deep in the game. But then they lost 0-3 to UAE. And the reason why I say this is that If we had prepared with the, you know, some kind of preparation had gone in, some training sessions, etc., because these players don't play together, you would have expected India to beat Myanmar and Bangladesh. And so even if you lost to China, you would have still thought that, you know, as one of the two best teams or one of the best four third place teams, you would qualify. And getting to the round of 16 is something India has not done in a considerable period in time. They did make it out of the group in 2010. They did not in 2014. And then they did not participate in 2018. So, you know, now that you're grouped with China, Afghanistan, Myanmar and Bangladesh, with this kind of preparation, or absolutely no preparation, I wish I can share the AIFF president's optimism of, you know, hoping that the national team will perform creatively and take football forward. I wish I could do that. Because let's get one thing straight. Everyone, when it suits them, talks about sites, international rules about, you know, players being released some 72 hours before an international competition. Those rules are not meant for India. Let's not kid ourselves about that. Those rules are definitely not meant for India when you're talking of any serious competition. Those rules are even not meant for Saudi Arabia. They took a break. They broke their league for 3 months before the World Cup. They just stopped it. That is something even China has done in the past. All of this is to ensure that the national team is up to speed for international games. So the rules, FIFA rules, work for Argentina, England, and, you know, countries more developed in football does not work for us. Now, so therefore that 72-hour thing just does not work. And I hope this team of largely first team irregulars and its most experienced player who's just coming back from paternity leave, can prove a lot of skeptics wrong. I would also like to say that this is going to be a test of how seriously ISL's pre-seasons happen. Because these players, even though they are not first team regulars, have been training with ISL teams for weeks or months. And they've also been playing some friendly games. So at least physically, whether they can take the rigors of games in 2 days is something that we will get to know. And if they can't, you can raise questions about the kind of preseason that ISL was doing. But the excuse of saying that, you know, they're just into preseasons now doesn't work anymore because the ISL starts in a week from now or September 21. So it would be a metric to judge how well preseasons have gone for them. But there is no substitute for training together. And I do not know how well Bangladesh and Myanmar have trained. And because I said that, you know, international games are unpredictable, it is not as if we've regularly beaten Myanmar and Bangladesh by comfortable margins. It's been 2-1, 1-0. Sometimes it's been 1-1. So without preparation, I don't know. If Bangladesh and Myanmar are prepared better than us, then it puts all teams on an even keel. And China, of course, go into the group as favorites.
Right. I guess the intention of the media days was to create buzz about the start of the ISL, but obviously the Asian Games controversy has diverted attention in a sense. Aditya, let's end with how ready the clubs are for the season. The clubs that were there in Bengaluru, like how confident are they and how is their pre-season like? If you could talk a bit about how they're placed in terms of doing well in the ISL.
As you can imagine, before the start of a season, there was like a lot of hope in the air. And, almost all of the coaches had, you know, a few rhetorical answers to offer. Like, you know, we are confident of our chances and, you know, all the other teams, we have to give them respect. But there are some, you know, kind of interesting things happening. Like even Connor Nestor is with Hyderabad now. So, you know, it'll be interesting how he, starts his stint over there. And again, he has experience, of course, but it'll be interesting to see how he can kind of, you know, gel in with the players at the moment. You have Owen Coyle, you know, who kind of, you know, has a bit of pressure on him. Like Chennai, have had success in the past. And it'll be interesting to, you know, see how they go this season. But he kind of spoke about, you know, how he is unperturbed by all this, you know, talk about pressure and all. And again, like just quite philosophical in his answers. And for Mumbai, of course, like Mumbai have been doing well. They missed out on the title last time. But Des Buckingham, as we all know, you know, he has his, he's stylish in the way he conducts himself and in his answers. So, yeah, he didn't kind of commit to anything. But there is a lot of hope. Of course, they have Changte over there, you know, who has been in form of late. And again, like he had a great season last season. And, you know, he said he is confident of doing even better this time around. So, even with BFC. So with BFC, it was interesting. Like Chetri was, in a very light kind of mood. And he was trying to, you know, do banter with Simon Grayson and with the other players he was sitting with. So with BFC, you could sense that there is like this chill vibe at the start of the season. But overall, it's just they all spoke about the fact that the start is important. They all, you know, want to start strong. Maybe, you know, that is also the reason why they are so hesitant in, you know, releasing players for any number of matches. So yeah, the start will be important. But yeah, in the media day, it was all quite, upbeat and positive for every team.
Diman, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, Mohun Bagan are a heavyweight team with a somewhat lopsided roster, dare I say that, somewhat lopsided in favor of attack. So, the center looks soft, but with that soft center, they won the Durand Cup, beating Mumbai City and FC Goa en route and taking in the stride a derby defeat. So, yes, Ashik Kurunian will be missed. And as Fernando said, you know, you have to make alternate plans for every time you miss a player. But they do have, it's not the attacking heft that they're going to miss. They have enough strength in depth in their roster. Punjab FC, the newbies, said that they'll play every game like it is their last. And Vivek, since you'll be following them in Delhi, we'll pick your brains on that as the season progresses. Northeast have a coach who could be a Rafa Benitez doppelganger. And he also spoke about, you know, speaking with Rafa, saying that we need to change how we look and gave was the most articulate of the seven coaches that we saw. Given they also kind of did well in the Durand Cup semi-final, they were two goals ahead and then they lost to East Bengal. But given that they again have a new set of coaches, a new coaching staff and a raft of new players, it is very difficult to say how they'll do. They remain an unknown commodity, really. East Bengal are in the upswing. Yes, there is no doubting that. Quadrat knows Indian football. Quadrat knows how to win leagues. They have a better squad this time and they should be in the top six. And then it's knockout games, really. Kerala Blasters may have to cope without Vuko Manovic for four games because he was banned for 10 games. And it is possible that he could have to, you know, stay out for the first four games. And that could influence how their season turns out. One way they disbanded the women's team to pay a fine that was imposed on the men's team. I think the surprise team this time would be Odisha because they have made a lot of right moves since moving from Delhi. They were in the top six last season. And if anything, they have a better squad this time. And they have a coach who knows how to win ISL. Sergio Lobera has got players that he is comfortable working with. He said in the media session that, you know, when you're looking at things in the short term, you need to have players who you are comfortable with because they understand what you want from them. And then they also, as players, know what to expect from the coach. So Amit Jahu's moved, Mutada Fowler's moved, Amar Ranaware, all players who used to play for Mumbai at one point and in FC Goa when Lobera was there. And they've got Roy Krishna and Diego Maurizio for goals. So I really think this is a team that could surprise many.
That was it for this episode. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us on our Twitter handles at Vivek9301 and at DemanHT. If you're a true football fan, you cannot not subscribe to Kickoff, our weekly newsletter on the World Game, which hits inboxes every Friday. For more updates on this podcast, follow HT Smartcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And to listen to more such podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com.